Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show. Very excited about this week's show. Coming up, we have a question that will be addressed by one of our counselors on the subject of, should I wait around for a job that will help me in my pursuit of marriage, or should I kind of like move on in something else that I may be called to do? I just don't know what to do. What is God calling me to do? So one of our counselors is going to address that. And then our culture segment this week is CCM artist Brandon Heath. Those of you who know him from the previous time that we interviewed him know that it was a really fun interview. He's a great sport, and he let me ask him some crazy questions. So I've got to come up with some crazy questions for him again this time, and you will hear them on that culture segment. But of course, we also have to address, it's kind of like the, you know, bane of my existence every year around this time, we have to talk about the Super Bowl. Because the Super Bowl is happening. In fact, it may be happening now as you're listening to this show. Maybe if you don't like football, you're listening to it now. But we're very privileged to have in the studio, of course, our own Martha Cranky. Martha, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Martha's just, I could tell just the excitement is building in you, Martha, for football.
Yeah, I kind of resonate with your feelings as well, but I'll try to hide that.
We'll see how we do. Well, fortunately, we've brought in reinforcements. We have two fans from the opposing teams that will be in the Super Bowl this year. We have representing the Pittsburgh Steelers, Roy Baldwin. Roy, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. Glad to be here.
Roy is, in addition to loving to talk about 80s Christian music with me and early 90s, he loves to talk about the Steelers, and he is our director of parenting and youth here at Focus on the Family. A very fun guy, and obviously a football fan and a Steelers fan, hailing originally from?
Western Pennsylvania, Newcastle, which is about 40 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right, good stuff. But you've been around, you've lived in New York, and you've been kind of, you know, out there. So you've never adopted any other team, apparently.
That is correct.
Okay, you're loyal.
Very loyal. That's the thing about the Steeler Nation fan base, is we're very loyal to our team.
Okay, well, that is good. We also have, representing the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Patrick Dunn. Patrick, welcome.
Hola.
Good to have you. He's also apparently representing our multi-ethnic contingent here.
Well, the Super Bowl is kind of an international event. So
that's true. I
threw that in.
Well, and especially Wisconsin. I mean, that's just like a melting pot up there.
It is.
That's good. Patrick, you are like a producer here. I don't even know your official title. You do a lot of stuff with web and video.
Yeah, he got sold all big and everything. And I'm like, so who are you?
I know. Well, he does too many things.
Senior producer for television and webcast.
Okay. See, that's cool.
Yeah,
We have to do another Boundless webcast because people like that when we did it. We've only done one so far.
My people will talk to your people.
That would be good. We even had people, I heard, in Singapore get up in the middle of the night to watch it live. So I'm saying, that's like hardcore. That is almost as hardcore as football fans, you know, the Boundless show. So you guys are going to have to help us out. You both are very excited that your teams made it to the Super Bowl. We have them appropriately attired in their team gear. That's very exciting. We even have a, what do we call this hat that you have, Patrick?
Oh, this is like one of the old leatherhead
type
things. Back before they didn't have face masks or any type of protection and just basically ran into each other and fell down and got carted off.
He has one of those hats. That's awesome. And then Roy has brought his terrible towel, which is kind of legendary, you were telling us?
Yeah, it started back in 1975. Actually, it was kind of a gimmick people were going in and buying yellow towels, and they were all the hand towels. So the department stores got really upset about that because they were ruining the sets. So I guess it just caused absolute chaos in the department stores and in the housewares section and linen section. But so what Myron Cope did was an announcer for the Steelers created what they called the terrible towel. And it's become a legend in football. It's one of the most recognizable things within any sport. It's a terrible towel. And it actually goes to a great cause. Myron Cope's son had autism. And so portions of everyone who bought a terrible towel went to the school that his son was at. And so it's kind of a neat background story on that as well.
But that is cool. Well, yeah. Patrick, that was pretty. He just pulled the philanthropy card on you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in Green Bay every year. They do this thing where the orphans from all over, I was making that up. But they do plenty of good community things.
I'm sure they give some cheese to people.
There's a lot of there.
Some free.
Yeah. Everybody
some
gets
free
a free bratwurst.
Well, I've pretty much announced that for the Super Bowl, I'm going to a Super Bowl party, which is always like, in fact, last year when I was at a Super Bowl party, because my boss at the time was actually out at the Super Bowl, because of those of you that know, we did the big Tim Tebow ad, and so it was a big year for us. My boss was out at the Super Bowl. So I had to deal with the on-site media interviews here. So actually, and it was a snowy day, a snowy night, and so I made the TV crews come to the house where I was at the Super Bowl party, and all of a sudden, all my friends are like, what is happening? I'm like, sorry, just sit down, just watch the game, just act like you're doing it. And all of a sudden, they're on TV, and they're like, well, we didn't sign up for this. So I did do that last year. This year, I'm hoping to commandeer one of the TVs and maybe watch Pride and Prejudice with people that I can. Patrick just got a look of terror in his eyes.
I really know how to live it up. I know. It's crazy.
This is what I'm filing under reasons why I'm still single. It could possibly fit in that category. So I don't know. But Martha, what are you doing?
Actually, my parents are going to be in town for my nephew's birthday. So I think I'll be watching with the family.
Okay. Because they'll put up a good show as far as like being interested. Because they're from Minnesota. So
they
can't like Green Bay then if they like the Vikings.
I think it will be a little bit of tension for that reason, but our family isn't huge football fans anyway, so we'll go with whoever.
Yeah, whoever.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said
that. We'll just go for the snacks. I mean, honestly, let's be honest about that. So that's good. Okay, so you guys, you need to start talking. When did you first realize that your team had a shot at making it to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh gosh, well, I think the Packers had that potential throughout the year, but they sort of did this roller coaster. Had a lot of injuries, and so every time it looked like they could really do something, then all of a sudden they'd lose like, you know, two out of their next three games. And so it really was not till right at the end of the year that they just took off, and they had a couple of games they had to win and made the playoffs, and then they just became one of those teams that peaks at the right time. But even now, I can't believe it. I keep thinking like, wow, Green Bay's in the Super Bowl. I mean, I know they're good, but it's still not like there's teams that throughout the year just kind of dominate. And when they get there, everybody says, yeah, well, we kind of figured.
Yeah, like the Colts. I was like, I mean, honestly, I just felt like.
Wow, Lisa.
I know. Well,
that was impressive.
See, I'm trying to warm it up now. You get to take those Pride
and
Prejudice.
This is the extent of my football cultural literacy. It's like, that's it. I just hear about the Colts and the Patriots. So, I mean, you'd think that like those are the only two teams that play football anymore. So that's what I'm just saying. It's actually refreshing to see some new colors out there. Last time Packers were in the Super Bowl, when was it?
97.
Oh, okay. So you've had quite a little stretch there.
Yeah, they've made the playoffs a fair amount of times, but they've never, I mean, there's teams that it takes forever to get back, you know, and then there's teams like the Steelers that suddenly are in there all the time.
Okay, Roy, so tell us about that. When did you first realize that the Steelers were going to be in?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the Steelers had a lot of bad press even before the season started because of their quarterback and the issues he had off field. And so he had a 4-game suspension to start the year off. And so I think a lot of Steeler fans were always optimistic because they always produce a great team out there in the field. But I think without your starting quarterback, and even after the first few games, another quarterback would go down, and so the season was not looking promising. But I think what was great is that 4-game suspension, they ended up being 3-1, and so when Ben Roethlisberger came back, he was really the gel of the team, and so I think I think throughout the course of the year, I think we always felt like we had a good chance. Offense has really struggled this year, but again, staple Steelers is their defense and their smash mouth football, and their defense has won them multiple games this year when their offense couldn't deliver. So we always know that Steelers will always have a chance because of their defense. So.
Provided they're not incarcerated.
Incarcerated. That is correct. So that is correct.
They're not thugs and criminals, you know, then we can get them back on the field.
That is
good.
Correct.
Although that's what I understand, that's the reputation of the Raiders. It's like everyone I talk to, it's like the Raiders fans are so crazy and they're just all a bunch of thugs. And so that's kind of interesting hearing that.
Yeah, and I think the Bengals definitely have had the market in the recent years on being thugs and criminal behavior. So.
Well, because I grew up in the Bay Area, so we rooted for the 49ers, and it was always the Raiders. We're like, well, you had some Raiders fans too, obviously. But okay, last time in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Pittsburgh
won over the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
And it was a great game, and I think this one will. I think everyone's very looking towards the Packers and Steelers playing two storied franchises and playing. So I think this is going to be a very exciting Super Bowl.
Okay. So what are you guys actually doing? What is kind of the spirit of the Super Bowl for you, like in your homes? Are you doing parties? What's it going to look like?
Yeah, well, we're having some people over to our house, my wife and I, and I have a brother who lives in Albuquerque. He's driving up, and another one in town. Yeah. And so we'll just keep it a kind of a family affair. And yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, nobody, you don't throw a Super Bowl party and then like, here's the bisque in a salad. You know, it's like fat guy food. I mean, that's part of the fun. So you get all the food and stuff like that. And we'll watch the game and I'll have Tums handy and stuff. Cause I get really nervous. Uh-huh. Like I love watching and I get really into the games, but seriously, like in this last game when they came down to the last quarter and it was a tight game, I'm such a dork. I couldn't sit down. I had to get out. I started like walking all over the living room. I was so nervous. And, you know, it just gets under you, your skin like that. So I'm sure at some point we'll be, you know, jumping around and screaming and, oh, and you go through this like emotional roller coaster and stuff. So, but either way, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. I mean, are we anticipating it being a pretty close game? It should be.
I assume so. I think you're looking at one of the number one and number two scoring defenses this year. They're teams that are very, very similar to each other. Hmm. Very defensive minded, have very mobile quarterbacks, great receiving cores. I think this will be a very close, I think a high scoring but close game.
Yeah, I think the same. They're extremely, you know, if you're a football person and you look at each team and what their strengths are, both teams are very similar. And if one team has the ball while they're facing this other team's really good defense and another way around. And so yeah. I would expect it to be a really close game.
Yeah.
Okay. Roy, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're getting together with our small group and having a Super Bowl party. And so we've already talked about some Steeler staples like kielbasa and kraut. Oh. And we're not back in Western Pennsylvania, so that would be typically pierogies. And stuff like kind of the staple things, but the wings and the pizza and the chips and salsa, and you know, so we'll go all out.
Okay,
so it's a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's nice. Now, see, the Packers and the Steelers are both long-standing franchises, but they're both blue-collar teams, blue-collar towns, and so it's the same. It's blue-collar food too. Mm-hmm. So you've got your kielbasa, you got your bratwurst.
This is why Boulder, Colorado, doesn't have a football team, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, you don't.
It would be all the farm fresh eggs
and burgers and the Super Bowl. You know,
organic soy products and
Somebody sees you with that up in Green Bay, they chase you out of town. The cops actually go after you.
I think that's true in the Steelers, Pittsburgh as well.
That's awesome. Okay, so explain to us a little bit about, because, you know, Martha and I are getting a little bit glazed-eyed here with the whole spirit behind football. I know you and Roy, you and I were talking the other day about just the fans and what it means to understand football and grow up with football and kind of be part of that. How did that start for you guys?
I think for the Steelers, I think part of it was a franchise. It's one of the oldest in the American Football Conference at this time, and you know they struggled like any team starting out the gate. And one of the things they did is they did a name change. So they used to be called the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is now our baseball team. Hmm. But one of the things that they did is they kind of had a fan base say, "Hey, help us choose the name." Of course, back in Pittsburgh, is known for its steel making. And so part of that was then they became the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that really leveraged and resonated with that kind of blue collar that Patrick was talking about, that kind of blue collar thing. And so the team became the embodiment of kind of that blue collar working mentality. And so that's kind of became that. And then what happened in the early 70s is Steelers became kind of the team of the decade, won four Super Bowl championships in the 70s, two back-to-back. So again, when you're winning and there's a kind of a community that begins to surround that, then I think that's kind of why the Steeler Nation became so big.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. You want me to give you the history of the Packers? Or
well, you are a co-owner of the Packers, so we need to make a note of that.
Yes. Okay. I have my one share that I had to have on my wall.
Okay, so you own one share in the Packers, which is very unique. I mean, that is a team that is, what is that called? Because most teams have owners, and there's some big unapproachable people that no one knows about.
As far as I know, it's the only publicly owned sports franchise, period. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's owned by fans that had bought shares over three different times. They allowed people to actually buy shares, and so it's just regular people.
Yeah, it is owned by over 112,000 people, we discovered today. We found that out. That is very fascinating. I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cool. Okay. And it is, you know, it is Wisconsin, and it's kind of a smaller town. It's not like L.A. or someone coming out of the gates with a big old team with a city that's transient and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of charm to that. And that's one of the things that a lot of people do appreciate. I mean, Green Bay is kind of like Pittsburgh. It's an mm-hmm. old, it was one of the first NFL teams ever, started in like the early 20s or 1919. Yeah. They were the Acme Packers at that time, because a bunch of guys working at a packing plant decided to form a football team. So they've been around for so long, but, you know, they're in this town of Green Bay, which is like 100-something thousand people. There's no glitz and glamour. I mean, if you go to Lambeau, you walk across the street from this NFL stadium, and there's like your grandma's house. I mean, literally, there's no mm-hmm. sky rises. It's just regular homes, little houses, and people that have lived there forever. And I mean, when I went up to a game a few years ago, we parked like three blocks away in front of this old folks' yard. They paid $5, and it was like, hey, how you doing there? Oh, fine. Yeah, have a good time. It was like, thanks. Hey, we'll be back for lunch. Then, you know, it's just a fun place, because it is. It's just so simple, and it's these people that have grown up just loving this team, and then it's just kind of passed down. I was born in Milwaukee, and my earliest memories are, you know, at home were my dad having, like, my grandpa and people over, and they're yelling in front of the TV with, like, a bowl of mixed nuts or something nearby, and I remember you just kind of watch the Packers, and so... Yeah. It just sticks with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've lived in 49er country and Dallas Cowboy country and all that, but you just stay, you're a Packer fan, you stay that no matter what. And like the Steelers, it doesn't matter if they're the worst team, which they were for quite a while, or one of the best, you just stay loyal.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here's our opportunity to get Patrick needs a tissue. He's getting worked up. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys the chance to, you know, for the opposite team, kind of get your little digs in. Patrick, Green Bay fan, what is the Steelers' weakness? What are they going to have to watch out for on Sunday?
I think that the Steelers have a really good defense, but I think that if Green Bay's offense is rolling, that they can outscore them. Oh. They can outscore Pittsburgh.
I take it, the goal of football.
you want to be able to score more points than the other
team. That's pretty profound,
okay.
Patrick.
It tends to make things work out better, yeah.
That's good. All right, Roy, what about the Packers?
Yeah, I think the weakness of the Packers has been the running game all year, and I think it's kind of been brought back to life in the playoffs, but Pittsburgh's had the number one run defense. Actually, they had the best run defense the Steelers have ever had, which mm-hmm. is pretty amazing considering the defensive prowess that they've had. So I think they'll dominate the front line, and I think it'll be a good game. But I think ultimately, if they can't run the ball, I think the Packers are going to be hurting.
Okay.
Although I've heard they've come up with some pretty tricky plays though too, like where they'll hand off to the running back, and then like the quarterback goes like, whoa, what's that over there? And tries to get the defense to like look, oh. And then the guy runs off. So they're really going to do some crazy stuff.
If that's the case, the Packers are pretty desperate, though.
Okay, so a discussion on the Super Bowl wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about the commercials as well. So are the commercials the time when you guys run for snacks, or do you get into the commercials as well?
I get into them.
Yeah, I love the commercials.
Yeah, it's always fun to see what everybody's going to come up with.
Yeah. Well, and there's already been some controversy, because there was the, you know, using Doritos as for the Eucharist, which I guess got nixed. There was a big ixnay on that one. So
I missed that.
This is how they're taking what they're doing is they're trying to take the lead of Focus from last year of infusing religious themes, but they're just doing it
in
inappropriately.
A yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So that one got banned. And then Martha and I were just reading about actually a Christian organization that was trying to come up with a John 3:16 initiative, because obviously very highly identified with iBlack and with other, you know, fans that have signs up and stuff. So they tried to do a commercial surrounding that and got that nixed because it was too doctrinally specific or doctrinally separatist. Mm. So that's down. So has anyone heard what are some of the things that we're expecting? Who's coming out of the gate? Pepsi, I'm sure, is going to have something, and all the inappropriate folks that
I haven't heard of any specific commercials, but something that's kind of fun to do for the non-football fans is one year we played a Super Bowl bingo game where just gave everybody a card of like a 5x5 of different spaces and put in like Pepsi and Doritos and Geico and all those different companies. And then as the commercials play, you see who gets bingo first, 5 in a row, and you win a prize.
Oh,
it was
okay.
A lot of fun.
See, look at it. Martha's got all the ideas.
That is clever.
You guys, how come you guys didn't write that down?
I like 75 beer.
That's true. If you put Budweiser down, you'll probably win.
Yeah.
I'm expecting Geico to come up with something good. I hope that they're in this book. Their commercials are just so funny. They just crack me up. I heard one on the radio recently that was some kind of plan they have for military folks, you know, with a discount. And it's like, you know, wow, that they're going to get excited about that. We need an eagle call. And there's this eagle that goes like, ah! You know, and then the guy who's in charge of Geico is like, I don't think we need to do that. That's over the top. And, you know, that's ridiculous. And then the guy's like, yeah, we need 10 eagles. Cacao. And then they're all because, ah! You know, the screaming eagle is just identified with the military. So love them. Yeah, I don't know. Well, there are several sites. I mean, I know USA Today comes up with their big roundup of commercials on the front end that everyone can check out. And then you have to watch all the meters, you know, after it happens. But that's big money for corporations. I mean, we're looking at, what, $2 million usually a spot to get within the game itself. You always want to get in the first quarter if you can.
Oh, and if done well, like Focus on the Family showed last year, it can give you an incredible amount of impressions and great exposure for a ministry or your business. So I think if done well, it's money well spent.
Yeah. Yeah, should be pretty good. So now what happens after the Super Bowl for teams, for players? Basically, I mean, the winners go to Disney World. I don't know what happens. I guess I just never have never found that out.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they, maybe they send them all to Disney World.
They might.
I think they do. They always yell they're going to Disney World, though I can't picture some of these NFL linemen on the log ride. The thing would just sit there and sink. It'd be the first time it ever actually went under.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they all go to Disney World, and you know, the losers, they pack up and go home.
That's one of the worst parts, I think, about the Super Bowl is watching these grown men at the end, like, just crying and so depressed, like, their lifelong dream.
Men have emotions, Martha. we hide
hard
them
to watch.
But if you look, it's the thing. See, everybody goes like, men barely ever show their emotions. They're just like walls. Watch a guy during a football game and you'll see every emotion. You'll see him angry, laughing, cheering, you know, jubilant, sad, depressed. It the microcosm of all the emotions in like one play sometimes. We have them. We save them for the right moments.
Well, if I could say, you know, and I think what it embodies is the time and effort and, you know, placed, you know, and the effort that goes into preparing for the game. Not to quote, this is a great quote, Vince Lombardi, who is a, used
Packer.
To be the Packer.
Packer. Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, you know, the Lombardi Trophy, which they're playing for, is a, I wouldn't say a hero, but one that I often look at is, in terms of inspiration his team. And he has this quote, and I think this captures the emotion, Martha. He says, I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is the moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle victorious. And I think that captures the emotion that you spend your lifetime working towards something, and you do want to come out on the end. And so I thought Vince did a good job capturing, but there's just a lot of emotion that go into that. So,
and isn't there like a piece of every guy's dream that kind of feels that? That's kind of like, you know, it's like the little boy, you know, were I able to be an NFL player, or were I able to be a Major League Baseball player, and kind of to be, you know, part of a team. And I think that's part of the fan experience too, is living up to that.
Well, and I, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, I mean, almost like what Patrick was talking about, you know, as a little kid, I was probably 6 when they won their first Super Bowl. And I remember, you know, the whole family sitting down around the TV, and then growing up with that, you know, was going out in the backyard and throwing the football with my father. I mean, so there was a whole experience with the Super Bowl, and you're especially in the connection with dads, I think with father and sons, there's a real connection, and football is that opportunity to do that and to be kind of a warrior, as we, you know, kind of men tend to be, and be able to conquer that. And so I think there's that element as well. And that's probably why there's some level, there's a disconnect from a female perspective on the game of football.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us grew up playing it. Yeah. Too. I mean, if you're a kid, you grew up playing
in
a youth league, and maybe you played high school ball, and even then, and so you know the game and you love it. And it's one of those, it's like anything. If you haven't done it, you don't really know what it feels like. But if you've played, you understand the passion that goes into it, and the kind of ferocity of when you're out there, and yeah. It's a rush. I mean, it's a crazy game to play. And so then when you're watching it, you're going to watch it looking at it through different set of eyes.
Mm-hmm. My football career was ended quickly after it was a singles group, what do you call it, bowl, I guess. We were playing another church here in town, and I went to go catch a pass and knocked my hand into some guy's head and broke a knuckle. And ooh. So, yeah, I had to go get that fixed, and wow. Then had to do like 6 weeks of PT on a knuckle, you know. So it was, I went down, you know, it was glorious. You know, it was definitely, yeah. I caught, yeah. caught
the ball. That's a great football story, but Lisa.
That was my moment. But ever since then, I've just kind of gone by the wayside and haven't kept up with any of that. So, well, awesome. I think this is a good discussion. And we'll, I mean, I'm so nervous for both of you now, because it's like, you know, one team is going to lose. So this is... It's sad. But I guess we'll know who that is on Monday. And
when I'm not at work, I was gonna, or he's not at work.
Someone, yeah.
Sorry.
You want to know the score, just check either one of our desks.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're not here.
Whoever can't make it, we would, you know, if you need any support, you know, Focus has a counseling department.
Yeah.
So make sure that you know.
Might take advantage of that.
You can call that number. But I think it's fun. It's fun to see people excited about stuff, you know, even if it is football. So Martha and I, you know, we learned a few things, I think, coming out of this.
I did learn a lot.
I know.
That's good.
It's very fascinating. So, and we'll does it help single women to, like, get excited about football or know something, or do guys generally not care? Just as long as
you
don't care if you watch football.
If you're a single woman, and I think, I mean, not every guy is a football fan, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, but for those that are, and there's quite a few that follow sports, it is an absolute gift from God if you meet a girl who likes football or doesn't care that you like football.
Oh.
Because I know I have friends that, I mean, that they're, you know, they're married, and it's the, you're watching football again? That is seriously, that's one of the worst things you can do. Take anything you love and you're interested in, and put someone in your life that rails against it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if it was like, you and that Pride and Prejudice, blah, 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 blah. You know,
I get that all the time.
That is not going to build harmony in a relationship. So uh-huh. you know, we're supposed to try to step into each other's worlds and share each other's interests. And if you find someone that likes the game too, or cheers alongside you, it's a great thing.
Okay.
Just
well,
like
that's good.
If we went to the craft fairs
or
whatever else, you know,
right.
it's, you know, the women, the wives would be like, it's so cool that he went with me, even though he, mm-hmm. you know, half the time you're like, what is that thing? Yeah, you don't know what to do. So.
Why are people?
No, I think that's true.
It?
I think you don't have. I think a guy doesn't expect a woman to be a football expert, just like you wouldn't expect us to be a craft expert. But I think there's that the sense of support and just kind of loving it. I mean, my wife loves community and having our whole small group over, and we'll all sit around and have a great time. And who doesn't want to have that?
So right.
And there are some women who are hardcore fans. In fact, my friend Heather. Major Bears fan, devastated that they didn't make it, but she would prefer to marry a Bears fan. So if there are any applicants out there, please let me know. So she likes the Bears, and she also can change her own oil. So she's
got a Bears quality. Fan.
That's a Bears fan.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there on her behalf. So definitely some girls out there that are going to be following the game for sure, instead of just, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. So, all right. Well, great discussion, everyone. It was really fun. So it'll be great to see the outcome. And of course, there's always next year for whoever doesn't win this year. So be encouraged.